Genesis chapter number 6. Turn there real quick. Genesis chapter number 6 tonight. Genesis chapter number 6. We have been in our working through the book of Genesis. We saw the creation in chapter 1 and 2, the curse, chapter 3, all the way to chapter number 4, verse number 15. And then we've been looking at the catastrophe, which we know is the flood and man's perversion, in chapter 4, starting in verse 16. Now to go all the way to chapter 9. We saw, first of all, under Roman numeral 3, the catastrophe, the world fast ripening for judgment, which is chapter 4, verse 16, all the way to the end of chapter 6. We saw, number 1, underneath that, God's assessment of those times. And this should be an interesting study for us because we read in the New Testament that Jesus said, "As it was in the days of Noah, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be." And so we know that a lot of what we're studying right now are things that we should see starting to take place, and we do. And we've been studying that, and we saw God's assessment of those times. We saw the ungodly there in chapter 4, verse 16, to the end of chapter number 4, almost to the end. And then we saw the godly, or outline the unworldly, chapter 4, verse 25, to the end of chapter number 5. That brings us to chapter number 6, and this is the unruly. Chapter 6, verses 1 through 7, the unruly. And let's read this real quick in chapter number 6, and we'll read the first 7 verses. I hope to get a little bit further tonight, but it says here, "And it came to pass, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh. Yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, that they bare children to them, the same became mighty men, which were of old, men of renown. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them." Let's pray. Father, Lord, I thank you for, Lord, already the services today. Thank you for the privilege of meeting the Jacob family today. And Lord, I thank you for the service tonight. I again ask you, Lord, to please be with Brother Davis as he is hurting. I pray that, Lord, you might help him and God just work in his life. Father, thank you for the good reports of the visitor down at Bayview. And I pray for Daisy as she visited, that she might come back. I pray, Father, for the good number that was there at Brother Harris's, that, Lord, you bless them. And Father, for there at Gunnison and, Lord, the Roberts ministry, I pray you continue to bless there. And Father, thank you for the good number at Hope today. And Father, we just praise you for that as well. And now, God, we just ask you, Lord, to open our eyes. We'd behold wondrous things out of thy law. I pray that you give us understanding. And God, teach us what you'd have each of us to learn tonight through this book. And in Christ's name I pray, amen. Amen. Genesis chapter number 6, we see the unruly. In verses 1 through 3, we have, as we'll outline here, number 1, a great apostasy. A great apostasy in verses 1, 2, and 3. Now, there are some weirdos out there that have been waiting on this and me to get to this passage. And, see, told you. Regardless of how you interpret this, mankind was devolving. They were becoming quite the mess. And it ended with a great apostasy, a great perversion, a great walking away of the truth. Now, what is it that is so intriguing about this passage? And I don't really encourage you doing it, but this is one of the most controversial passages, if you want to look it up, and people talk about it. And, obviously I know all the answers, so I'll share it tonight. You see a couple of things here, right, here in these first few verses in this great apostasy. And I will share with you what I think. what I believe here in these first few verses. In verse 1 and 2, I want you to see an expression of the perversion of man. An expression of the perversion of man. Now here's what we're talking about. When you get to these verses, it says in verse number 1, "It came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took wives of all which they chose." There's two different thoughts on this passage of Scripture. There are some who believe and have arguments, and they use Bible verses to prove their arguments, that when it says they're the sons of God, that that is referring to fallen angelic beings, and that these demonic beings, the sons of God, they saw the daughters of men, and that they took them as wives. And basically, when you keep reading this, they had children. In verse number 4, they were giants, or almost superhuman giants that were born from this, if you want to call it an intermarriage. They have their facts for this. They use facts such as in Peter and in Jude, where there are certain angels that are being kept in imprisonment awaiting a judgment. And they're always associated with the early days, the times here that we're reading about, in the times of Noah and Sodom and Gomorrah. And the thought is that they are from around this time frame, and the strange flesh, talking about Sodom, is referring here with this same perversion with these demonic angels. Now, you say, is that true? I don't know. There's the facts. Nobody knows. But you say, well, what's your opinion? I don't think that's it. I do not think that's what this passage is talking about. And one of my biggest arguments for that is in Matthew chapter number 22. Glance at this with me real quick. In Matthew chapter number 22, I want you to see this, all right? And I'll give you the other side's argument to this verse, but I just do not believe this is the truth. In Matthew chapter 22, and I want you to see verse number 30. We're jumping right in the middle of a lesson here that Jesus is teaching. But in Matthew 22 and verse number 30, it says, "For in the resurrection," talking about us and other believers, "they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels of God in heaven." The angels of God were created by God, and we studied this, as eunuchs. There is no marriage or giving in marriage. And because of that, and the Lord made a point to say that that's how they were created, I personally don't believe that that is what happened in Genesis chapter number 6. Now, those who would argue that would say, well, those are the angels that are in heaven, and the fallen angels became perverted. And yet, I just don't feel comfortable with that definition of things. But if we find out one day that that is what it is, you can take note that I said, I don't think, all right? And you can't say, ha-ha, you were wrong. But I do not believe that that's the case. I don't believe it for several reasons. One is that, again, the fact that the angels were not created by God for that purpose, or according to what he said, they're neither given in marriage. All right, that is not there. I also have another reason why I don't believe it, is because the Bible says, as it was in the days of Noah, and you don't see that happening now, nor will you. And I don't think that's going to be repeated. I don't think that's something that's going to happen. Now, I will say that there is a possibility that obviously man and wicked lost man can become demonically possessed. And obviously a demonically possessed person can do anything that a human being can do. But I do not believe, and I do not take the stand, that they, these are offspring, these giants of a demon and a human relationship. I don't think it lines up with Scripture. I think it opens up too many issues. And I don't think it lines up with what Jesus said about the angels that were created, and nor do we see it being repeated today. And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. And a lot smarter people than me do think that is the case. But the bottom line is this, it doesn't matter at all. I talked to a pastor 3 weeks ago, and we and him were having a conversation, and we were laughing because it's a long story, but there's a Polo group on Marco Polo. It's an app of pastors that talk, and I talk to them all. There's about six or seven of us in there, and it's more of a, you know, kind of at ease, have a good time, good friendship kind of thing. And when they invited me to join this in my first day on there, one of the pastors said, "Now, before you can enter, you have to explain to us Genesis chapter 6. And, you know, and he laughed. And in fact, he said, "Let me tell you a story about it." He said, "I one time had a preacher who wanted me to come and preach for him. And he said, but before I want you to come preach for me, I want you to explain to me Genesis chapter 6. And this pastor said, "Why?" And he said, "Well, because what you believe about this is a serious doctrine, and it will determine whether I have you come and preach or not." And this pastor said, "How does this affect the gospel in any way? How does this affect the teaching of Jesus, the doctrine of Christ?" He said, "Give me one small way this would affect that." And the guy said, "Well, there isn't one." Then the preacher said, "Then I guess it really shouldn't matter at all." He goes, "Well, I want to know your definition." And this preacher I was talking to said, "Well, I'm not going to come to your church." He said, "Well, it's a whole different world you all need to come and visit sometime, right? It's weird, right?" But, you know, this guy is getting hung up on something that did not matter, and nor do I want it to matter. It's not a big deal. Right. He said, "But I want to know what it means. Then God would have told you." Right. That's pretty simple. Right. And there's all kinds of things that I will not understand until I get to heaven fully. Right. And it will probably all get to heaven one day and find out, "Oh, we were wrong on that, on some things." That's right. Well, you didn't amen that, all right? But you're not perfect, all right? Neither am I, all right? We strive to be as right as we can. And so my personal thought on this, and, you know, is that this was not some intermarriage between, you know, demons and people. So then what do you believe? Glad you asked. Let's look at this real quick, all right? It says in verse number 1, "It came to pass when the men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men that were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose." Here's where I take a position. Chapter number 4 was about the what? I got all day. Chapter 4, we outlined it. What was it about? The what? I know some of you ladies want to answer, right? You know, my wife's just like, "I just can't talk in church because I'm not allowed to," right? Right? Any man know what it was about? It was the ungodly line, all right? So this ungodly line, and it goes in all this detail about the ungodly line. Then chapter 5 is about who? The godly line. And so we have the ungodly line, the godly line. Then we go, and it introduced Noah, and then it takes a little step backwards in chapter number 6 and says, "And it came to pass," and joining two thoughts here. Well, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, so both of these lines were having all their children, it says there that the sons of God, I say, those are the angels. I don't think so. My personal thought is that's the line, the godly line. The line of Seth, the line that we read about in chapter number 5 that God gives us great detail about, then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. These were the saved individuals. They were calling upon the Lord. These are people that were godly. These are people that love the Lord. But there's also this other line of ungodly people, and then the sons of God saw the daughters of men. I think the daughters of men are those who line up with the line of Cain, which we know, remember their wives and their children's name. They were big on naming their children, and their wives were named after what? Fair, beautiful ornaments, very lust-driven society, right? Remember that? All right, good, all right? And then it says there that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were what? Fair. That doesn't mean, they're okay. All right, that is not what it means, all right? They were very... you don't understand, man. I would love to have fun, all right? But I'm not. I'm being all very sophisticated in preaching, right? They were beautiful, all right? They were all beautiful, and the sons of God saw this them, and that they were very beautiful, and they took them wives of all which they chose. You say, that's my stance on this. And this is what I see happening. And I see here that there was an intermarriage between God's people and the godless people. And the Bible warns us in the New Testament to be not unequally yoked with unbelievers. It is the doctrine of Balaam, as it's talked about, which is associated with the way of Cain in the New Testament. Interesting. But I believe that they, again, you see here all that Bible says in 1 John, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For all that is in the world is what? The lust of the... in the pride of life. Right. I know, I'm just having to twist your arms, right? If you participate, it helps us to learn, all right? So, again, all that's in the world, lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. You see it here in this verse. The sons of God saw the daughters of men. They were fair, and they took. They weren't supposed to, but they said, I'm going to do what I want to do. You see the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life all in that verse. They were becoming carnal. They were becoming worldly. They were trying to mix a godly line with a lost line, and it was leaving them in a mess of carnality. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall also it be when the Son of Man returns. Do you not see that today? You see an intermarriage going on between a godly church age that should be and an ungodly world, and you see it trying to join, and you see the mess that it is leaving us in. And I believe that that's what was going on. That's my thought, is that they truly, and that is the pure definition of apostasy, but you see here an expression of the perversion of man. I believe as you began that their children began to see these beautiful ladies that they were all, and again, don't get me wrong, right? It's not like the godly line, we're all, you know, ugly ladies, right? It wasn't just like, well, there's all the ugly, godly people or all the beautiful. It wasn't that way. It's humanism. It's this. You know you're not supposed to, so you want to. Right. And they knew that. There was a separation between the two. But something in their wicked carnal heart said, I wonder what it's like. Just like a lot of young people sitting in the auditorium, probably tonight you're dealing with some things that, you know, boy, if I wasn't here, I wonder what it's like. It will leave destruction every time, and it did here too.
Right. That's right.
But the fact is this, you have this great apostasy, you have an expression of man's perversion, or the perversion of man. And then I want you to see in verse number 3, an exhausting of the patience of God. It says, and the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. What do you see here? I see in the exhaustion of the patience of God, number one, a striving of the Spirit. It says there, and the Lord said, that God said this, my Spirit shall not always strive with man. The Holy Spirit of God was working in men's lives. I believe he's working, and again, this is another reason why I don't believe it's some demonic thing that was happening, because if it was a demonic thing, the Holy Spirit can whip any demon there is.
That's right.
There's not much of a striving there. Holy Spirit is God.
Right.
They're not going to fight a whole lot. You'll never see the Lord arm wrestling with a demon, and it's close, right? A fictitious story, but you get my picture, right? There's not even a battle there. Our God is powerful. With the word, with the thought, there is no battle.
Right.
Amen? But here there's a striving going on, and it's not with demons. It's not with demonic activity. The striving of the Spirit of God is going on. Who is he striving with? You're a hard crowd tonight. I know, I'm really making life difficult. Who is he striving with? And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with. There you go. All right, man, all right? It's man he's striving with. You know, not some spiritual forces going on. He's striving with man. Because what's going on? There's a lost crowd that doesn't want to know the Lord, and the Holy Spirit, as He will now, will bring conviction. He'll try to correct. He'll caution them. I'm sure these also, the Holy Spirit, no doubt, is working in the heart of believers in the same way that He works in our hearts today. But the issue is this, that now they're molding into one, and they're all ignoring the Holy Spirit of God. They want nothing to do, and they're fighting back against the Holy Spirit of God. And there's a striving of the Spirit, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. There's a striving going on right now. Because we know that, and from our study in Thessalonians, that one day when the rapture takes place, he who now letteth will let. The Holy Spirit of God, His hand that is restraining and holding back sin, this hand that is holding back, you think things are bad now. You have no idea how wicked and terrible things are going to be when the Holy Spirit pulls back His arm. But praise the Lord, He's still working today. And He is striving with man today. And the same thing was happening here. There's a striving of the Spirit, and then you see a specific sentencing in verse number 3. My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh. First, just Travis Burke's little thing here, all right, is the fact that this, God makes a point here, knowing how weird some people are, to make sure that he knows that the Spirit was striving with man, and that he, and that man is flesh. Man, flesh. No, if the Lord would have said he's fighting with devils there, I would have went probably a different direction. Right. But the Lord's making a specific point here. Right. And I believe that, all right? But this specific sentencing here is that this, yet his days shall be 120 years. God says 120 years. Right. Then judgment. What's going to happen? That spirit's going to keep striving. God's man is going to preach. He's going to give Noah the time to build an ark, but also to preach the gospel. It shows the patience and the preservation of God. But you see here this great apostasy. And number two, you see a godless activity. A godless activity. In verse number 4, there were giants in the earth in those days. And also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men, which were of old, men of renown. All right? You say, what godless activity. Again, and if you go with, you can take whatever avenue you want out of here, right? But in Travis Burke's commentary, I believe this is a godly line intermarrying with an ungodly line. And it produced a generation that became mighty men. I'm not going to bore you with a lot of things today, but one of the great things that built the greatest nation upon the face of the earth is not that everyone in American history has been saved, but there were certain biblical principles that this nation followed which built the greatest nation upon the face of the earth. Even with all of its problem and all of its wickedness, as principles were followed, that you work and then you can eat, that you respect people, that you do good to your neighbors. As these things were followed, all right, power but meekness, as these things were followed, it built the greatest nation. And I believe it produced a generation of people that tried to ride the fence. They knew God, but they were intermarrying with a lost-driven, flesh-driven society, and you had these offspring, if you will, that became, and it's not really a difficult thing here, then there were giants. The word giant there simply means this. Look it up in any concordance you want to. It means tyrant. Tyrants. You say, were they tall? Maybe. You say, well, aha, they're the offspring of demonic activity. Goliath wasn't, nor his brothers, nor, you know, Patrick Ewing or Shaquille O'Neal, all right?
Amen.
All right? Do you see what I'm saying, all right? You know, but the word means tyrant. They were giants. And if you can live and take yourself back in those days, and you had this line over here and that line over there, each doing their own things, and now you had a joining together, working together. And now you had both sides trying to put all their technology and thoughts and some good principles and character along with this technology and flesh-driven society. Well, the same thing is going to happen one day. We see it right now as a godly world is being all muddied up with a lost world. If you don't believe me, then scroll through Facebook today and search church in Cincinnati and look at their live streams. You'll see dancing, you'll see smokes, you'll see all kinds of fun lights and rock concerts and all kinds of things going on. But as it unifies everyone, and the same thing, and that's what we're seeing today, it will lead in tyrants. There's an antichrist coming.
Right.
Who's going to captivate the world, and by his side will be his prophet. They will unify government and religion and promise the world, which is what you see going on right here. You see giants. I believe those are rulers. Those are tyrants. And it says they were mighty. I wrote the word in my outline, rulers and robust. All right. It says there, they bear children to them. The same became mighty men. They were just powerful men. We live in a world today of powerful people. I'm not on the list. And I hope this doesn't bust your bubble. Neither are you. Right? We're not on the list of the world's most powerful people. But they have a list. They have a list. They're, if I knock on the White House gate and say I'd like to talk to the president, I'm not getting in.
Right.
But there are certain people that can.
Right.
If I pick up the phone and call, I'm not going to be connected to the president. But certain people can. And you have in this world today leaders rising up, and that you're going to see more and more about of this too as time goes on. But you see rulers, robust, and then renown. All right? Renown. It says men of, which were old men of renown. They're infamous. They're popular. So power, popularity, and, being in charge, prestige is a good word. That's the society we live in today.
Right.
That's the world that we live in today. And you see this godless activity taking place. And then you see in verses 5 through 7, a growing anarchy. A growing anarchy. You see, first of all, God's discernment. In this, in verse number 5, and God saw that the wickedness of what?
Man.
Not devils. Of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination and the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. I am not saying there wasn't demonic activity going on. There's demonic activity going on today too. Matter of fact, it's probably going on in this service. There are people who the devil is trying to distract and tries to discourage and tries to get their mind off things. But greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Praise the Lord for that. But I see here again that God sees, and no doubt man was being influenced by this fallen race of angels. But it was man doing this. It was the wickedness of man was great in the earth. You see, God's discernment in this, he saw that man's actions were wrong and man's thoughts were wrong continually. As bad as the society and the world is around us, I don't know that we're there yet, but we're really getting close. Man's perversion is being taken to another level almost weekly. You see the perversion of man, and you see, so God's discernment that man had gotten to a place that he was, his thoughts and imaginations were evil, and the scary word there is continually. But you see God's discernment, and then you see God's disappointment in verse number 6. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth. God's disappointment. It grieved him at his heart. We know what God is going to do now. It says it repented the Lord. The repent means, again, a change of mind, which leads to a change of direction. God created man and gave and breathed into him life. God said, be fruitful. replenish the earth. God loves life. But now you see God repented. He repented the Lord. So what does that mean? The Lord didn't sin. It means this. It means that the Lord changed his mind and direction. It's not going to be life now. It's going to be death. A total change of mind and direction. He had made man. Man had gone and become wicked. And again, what tends to my theory on this passage of Scripture is if the line of Seth is doing so wonderful at this time, why is only Noah and his family in the ark? I mean, if the line of Seth and all of them are having multiple sons and daughters, amen? If the line of Seth is doing so great, why is there four men and their wives getting in the ark and no one else? I believe they had corrupted themselves. They had gotten to this point to where there was no division between the two. And that's why people mocked at him. And that's why people didn't want to listen. Because they, listen, this is the danger where we live in. They knew enough of the truth to say, yeah, I've heard it before, but I'm not interested. Because they were living their life. They had everything they wanted. They were doing fine. And life had never been better. Because now there wasn't this separation. Now they were enjoying living in the city life. Now they had all the technology. Now everybody was just happy. That's all life is about, as long as we're happy, right? But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. You see God's discernment, God's disappointment. Now life would be extinguished. That's where he's repented of the Lord. Life would now be not created, but extinguished. But in that verse, I also see that his love is expressed. It says at the end of verse number 6, it grieved him at his heart. It grieved him at his heart. Everybody listen to me. You only grieve for people you love. You only grieve for those you love. When I was growing up, my dad used to sit and drink coffee every morning. Well, he still does that. I'd always see him, and he always would read the obituaries. Dad, why are you reading the obituaries? Just seeing if I'm in there, is what he'd always say, right? He still says that. Seeing if I'm in there. You know, and I thought, you know, why in the world does Dad do that? And then, like, a year and a half ago, I signed up for Tufts Daily Obituaries. And I get an email every morning, and I have to look at it every morning. I am becoming him. But I look at that, and I scroll through. And I don't hardly ever know anyone that's listed in those. But a few months ago, during all the COVID things, I was scrolling through there once, and I saw one of the nursing home attendees that came to our service. I didn't know they'd passed away. Normally I scroll through and see them and see the names and go on to the next email. But I stopped and my heart grieved that day because I had a relationship with that person. It's really a powerful verse when you stop and look at it, that it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth. Life would be extinguished through the flood, and it says it grieved him at his heart. It broke the heart of God. Lest anyone would think that God gets any joy in having to punish sin, then read that verse. It grieved him at his heart. Now man who God had created, he would have to destroy. You see God's discernment, God's disappointment, and in verse number 7, God's decision. It says, and the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping things and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. God's decision simply is this, judgment would now come. The Lord is going to destroy man. the Lord, not just man, but creation. Man and beasts, creeping things, fowls of the air. Man's wickedness had gotten to a point it demanded the judgment of God. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. We're approaching those days again. And I'm not here in any way, trying to be all depressed about this. That means God's Spirit is still striving with man.
Right.
That means that just like Noah, we need to keep preaching the Word of God.
Right.
That means God has given us an opportunity and man a time for repentance and faith, and we have a job to do.
Right.
But we better redeem the time. God said to here in this passage of Scripture, 120 years. I do not know how much longer we have. We could have 120 seconds to all I know. We could have 120 weeks, 120 months, 120 years. I do not know, but I know this, that God's Spirit is still working. We have a commission and we have a job to do, and may we be found faithful. So you have here God's assessment of those times. And you see where it leaves us, and I'll stop here tonight, but I'll just give you a little teaser for next week. God's answer to those times. God's answer is, there is a man.
Amen.
There's a man who hadn't given himself to the world.
Right.
Whose sons hadn't married the ungodly world. There was a man. Verse 8, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. God, I've said it before, I'll close with it tonight. God will not leave a world without a witness. And God had a plan for a man, Noah, in this wicked time to preach and prepare for the judgment to come. You say, well, I can't be that guy. I'm sorry. Are you saved today?
Yeah.
For by grace are you saved.
Yeah.
So I don't care who you are today. You can say this. I, Travis Burke, have found grace in the eyes of the Lord.
Right.
And may we be found faithful too.